As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
to Wild and Crazy.
Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogan for the win.
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogan.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are, the Adams. Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in Hogan Johns with you. With Kevin Fishbane in the house. The Fishman is here. A new mic is also in the house for Johnsy. Everything's going to sound good.
Test one, and, two, three, four. Overlive.
Sounds pretty good.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
People are starting to get angry, Johns. I was getting messages
about the headphone setup and the lack of a mic. Like,
well, you know, you have a good voice, and they don't like when it doesn't sound good.
I do have a great voice.
Yeah. And Kevin Fishbane, he always sounds good, too. And as far as I can tell, doesn't have any mic problems or problems in general. What's up, Kevin?
No, and I'm continuing to use this mic stand. That was really the number one complaint, the only complaint about my appearances on the show was that I was not using a mic stand. Nobody has ever said anything else about my appearances.
You were holding it.
Yes, they didn't like that.
Before we get going, we have to congratulate Kevin, the Illinois Sports Writer of the Year. Let's see if I can get this right here. Is this working? No? If you're watching
pull YouTube, it back. I think you're too close to the camera.
Too close?
Try it again.
Is this the fireworks? No?
I don't know. It's like this, maybe.
This?
None of this. Oh, we got there.
There it is. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, guys.
If you're watching on YouTube, there is confetti on Hogan Johns.
Yes. So you're the sports writer of the year in Illinois. Jason Benetti was the sports caster of the year, to which I have to say, please don't leave us for Detroit.
I was to say, I'm not going to be covering the Lions as far as I know. Next year.
Oh God! I mean,
covering games at this point.
It's true.
Well, he would be if you were covering the Lions.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying? I thought you were saying the Bears might actually be doing that, but no, were talking
maybe,
about the Lions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that was a shot.
Shot,
not at Kevin, of course, but well, in all seriousness, congrats. That's a huge honor.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I certainly owe the two of you, been there with me from the beginning, and the listeners of the show. I got a lot of congrats, Fishman, in the comments. I had family members texting me, whoever that is that made that Fishman logo. I had cousins being like, what is this? And I responded, why don't you listen to the Hogan Johns show? That's on you.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that part of the entry was Fishbane fun facts or not so fun facts. I mean, I'm assuming that's really the biggest reason why you won this award. So the timing works out perfect. We, I mean, we didn't know. We had this planned, but we didn't know that that you were going to be a, you know, an award-winning journalist by the time we recorded this. So perfect timing. We got a whole episode of Not So Fun Facts.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope they don't take the award away from me after after this one.
Well, they might. we do that to people, I think. All right, real quickly before we get into those, offensive coordinator news. Johns, we got Thomas Brown and Marcus Brady thrown into the mix here.
Add them to the list.
Put them on the list. Put them on the tap. Thomas Brown interview.
Two good coaches. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the idea of the staff they're trying to build with these interviews as well. I think you have some very appealing quarterback coaches, some very appealing running backs coaches, run game coordinators, all very qualified candidates so far for the Bears.
Thomas Brown would be a huge upgrade as a running backs coach.
Yes.
An upgrade from they didn't have one for the last half of the year. Yeah. I'm very interested about the idea of building a staff with Chris Morgan's role, because he kind of is the de facto run game coordinator, but most of these guys come from the same coaching tree as him. So I imagine that'll be somewhat seamless. If they're going to bring in somebody and say, hey, he's going to be our run game coordinator, because I would have said they already have one.
Oh, good point. Right, I mean, Marcus Brady has connections to Eberflus to Indianapolis. Right.
How many do you guys remember who else they interviewed besides Luke Getsy? I don't remember it being a ton of.
I remember
Luke Getsy was like a package when they hired Flus. It was like it was one of those already like prearranged. Flus comes into his interview. Yeah, I got Luke Getsy as my OC type of situation.
Yeah. Because this is almost like, well, if you got the head coaching search from that year, well, what they interview 7-8 guys. Oh, they're being thorough.
Am I remembering right? I feel like they almost announced Luke Getsy right away when they hired Eberflus. By the time Flus did the press conference, we already knew he was the OC.
100% right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they got to start narrowing the list down and moving a bit more quickly now that Shane Waldron is getting interviews with the Saints?
Well, the timing of all this is very interesting, because meanwhile, the head coaching movement has been very slow. And what we don't know, we were talking about this a little bit right before the show started too, is like, is, for instance, Greg Roman tied to Jim Harbaugh? You know, just like Luke Getsy was basically announced with Matt Eberflus, usually these head coaching candidates have guys lined up. And I don't know, is it possible that some of these guys the Bears have interviewed are lined up with other potential jobs if that person gets a head coaching job somewhere else? But then that's a big if, because you don't know if that, you know, you don't know that that's going to happen. So that's where this gets very complicated. And I feel like everything sort of just seems like it's on hold right now, perhaps until Jim Harbaugh and Bill Belichick figure out what the hell they're doing.
Do you think that Greg Roman is done with the Harbaughs after being essentially fired by John Harbaugh last year?
I don't know.
Good thought.
After being out of work this year, I would probably just take a job.
It's true. Very true. The way I would look at it, I would still put Shane Waldron and Clint Kubiak as my top options. I love the idea of adding like pass game and run game coordinators, because I think there are so many good candidates being interviewed by the Bears right now. But then having like Greg Roman as like my fallback option. Like if Waldron goes to the Saints and Thomas Brown follows, I don't know, Belichick or Vrabel, for example, Greg Roman strikes me as a good fallback option, especially if he wants a little bit more authority over the entire offensive philosophy. Just a thought.
Does that limit you, though, on your quarterback options?
It might. It might. Yes, but I want considerable play calling experience for my OC.
Well, that part I agree with. I don't feel like Greg Roman fits the versatility with quarterbacks that Poles and Flus talked about in their end of season press conference. I think it makes sense to interview him. And all these interviews, there's no downside to interviewing anybody. You know, it's you even in the, let's look at Thomas Brown, even if he doesn't end up on the Bears staff, he just experienced whatever the hell happened in Carolina this year with Bryce Young. And if you are going to draft a number one quarterback, maybe you'll learn some do's and don'ts out of that whole situation.
I want Thomas Brown part of my staff. You know, that he would help immensely in terms of that quarterback evaluation. Immensely, just in terms of what happened in Carolina. Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah. And he coached for the Badgers in 2014, so he checks that box too, which is very important.
I can hear the conversations already.
That 2014 Badgers offense, when you think about some of the historic offenses in college football, that's one.
I can't even tell you who the quarterback was.
Do you guys know
Jack Cohn? Joel Stave? Probably Joel Stave.
John Stocko?
Joel Stave.
Stocko was 7 years before that.
Can I give you guys a fun fact before we get to Kevin's fun facts? Or can I ask you a question in fun fact?
Seems like you're undermining an award-winning journalist right now.
Name the former Bears coach that Marcus Brady coached under in the CFL.
Oh, I saw this already.
Wait, say it again. Name the
former Bears. It's so easy. I'm making it as Mark obvious Trestman. As can be. Yes. Part of his staff with the Alouettes. But he did not bring Marcus Brady with him to Chicago.
Marcus Brady was on Trestman's staff in Montreal. Yes.
I think he was there the second time around when Trestman was at the Argonauts.
No, so the Alouettes.
Was it the Alouettes or the Argonauts? No, he was at the Alouettes before the Bears, but then didn't he go back to CFL and coach the Argonauts?
He did. He won another great cup.
Brady did. Oh, yeah.
So I think Brady was with this. I think Brady was with the second version of Canadian Trestman.
No, he was with the version.
Oh, was it the original?
Yes. If you would have read my 14 candidates, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
It was all detailed in there.
It was a great story.
Marcus Brady was on your 14 candidates?
I stopped at 12, though.
He was. So was Thomas Brown, Clint Kubiak. I didn't have Shane Waldron because he wasn't a free agent at that time.
In 2018, I did 44 candidates for head coach.
44?
And Matt Nagy was on there, so guess what? I was right.
You were right.
I mean, it would have been bad if he wasn't. If you did 44 and missed the one they hired, that would have been crazy. According to Wikipedia, Marcus Brady, you're both right. He was on both staffs, Montreal and Toronto. So stop fighting. All right. Let's get to these not so fun facts. These were our big hit the last time we did it. What is that? Oh, we got Kelly.
I had a stack of MLB Showdown cards on my desk, and I was like, oh, there's Kelly Wunsch.
That's wild. Every once in a while, I see a Kelly Wunsch jersey.
He was electric.
I don't know if I'd say electric, but okay.
He was a seventh and eighth inning stopper. What a great detour for the show. Aren't you glad you had me on today?
That kind of qualified as a not so fun. It was a not so fun reference.
Yeah.
It was really fact.
It's Kelly Wunsch.
Yeah. All right. What do we got here? We got how many of these do we have today?
9. I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just to set the stage, Fishbane's obviously cornered the market on Fishbane fun facts, which we like to
joke. Herb Howard likes to call them fish facts.
Fish facts. That works too. We like to point out that many times the facts are actually not very fun. So we on the show. Well, that is. I'm not. Yeah, it's probably accurate, but. We like to call this the Fishbane not so fun facts, and we don't know what these are. Johns and I do not know what's coming. Fishbane's got these ready. Our producer Kent has them ready, and we're just going to react to whatever is about to happen here.
And I will point out these are from, so I had, it's been fun fact week at the Athletic. So Tuesday, was a deep dive into Justin Fields, just Fields stats. And today, as we're recording Thursday, I have the Bears offense. I don't have the defense one ready yet, so that'll be on a later show. But defense special teams fun facts article will be out next week, and we'll do those fun facts later on.
Wow. Get a whole article on it. TheAthletic.com/HogJohns to go sign up. All right. So these are offensive facts.
Yes. Not offensive.
Some might be offensive. Yeah. All right. Number one, what do we got?
Justin Fields ranked 32nd out of 32 qualifying quarterbacks in fourth quarter completion percentage, interceptions per pass, passer rating, and EPA expected points added per pass. Oof. I should note that most of these stats, all of these stats are from True Media. So thanks to folks at True Media for helping out with that.
So he was the worst quarterback in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
All right. So like we said, not so fun fact. That one definitely qualified.
Now I'm going to, let me give a quick disclaimer because I wrote this in the story. The thing about, like, I love using stats, obviously, and I give you guys the fun facts. But especially when you're talking about Fields, those stats specifically, it's not tape. It doesn't factor in play calling. Doesn't factor in a missed assignment, a missed block. You know, I mentioned this story. He was 3 of 9 against Cleveland. Well, we all know how much he was harassed in that game. Doesn't account for drop passes or missed bad route, all those things. It's just, these are just the stats, and you can interpret them however you'd like.
Kevin,
I do think though,
when you off right now,
I like to point that out, but I also do think that with Fields, when you rank that low, that you can't just scream, "Well, that was Getsy's fault." Well, no, the quarterback has to. And get better. And guess what? You know who admitted that? The general manager of the Chicago Bears. When I asked him, where do you want to continue seeing growth from Justin Fields? He said, those 2-minute situations.
I think Justin Fields would tell you
yes,
that he has to be better. I think Justin Fields would tell you that he has higher expectations of himself beyond the excuses, mm-hmm. right? I don't know. Just something to think about. Kev, the question I have for you is when is that, and maybe I can ask this later, but like when is that body of work just become like the body of work? Because if you add in the past couple seasons, and I get it, not a great situation year one, not a great situation year two, but the numbers kind of hold true year after year after year.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, I don't know what season it was. And maybe it was different. It was probably different for everybody. Like, do you remember when you reached that moment where you said Jay Cutler is who he is? Like, this is just Jay. He's not going to ever be this. He's not going to ever be that bad. He's just Jay. And you take the good, you take the bad. And
I think we got there before they gave him that contract extension.
Yeah. I think, I would agree with that. I mean, he had been here for, 5 seasons already? So, I mean, Justin Fields is not at that point. I think we all want to see what Justin Fields looks like with a different scheme and different weapons and a durable offensive line, all those things. But, you know, that's a question that people are going to ask is when is it just like that's who he is. Now, what I didn't have, and I didn't, you know what? You guys want a bonus? You guys want a bonus fun fact? Because people brought this up that the interesting part of Fields is, well, how different he was in the fourth quarter compared to early in the game. So really quick, let me give you where Fields ranks in the first quarter.
I bet you these numbers are way different.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not. Look,
if you go through a lot of the fourth quarter, like if you go through the quarterback stats, I mean, most fourth quarter stats are poor because it's obviously you got, when you think about the teams ahead of, you know, the teams are rushing everybody at you in close games. Justin Fields, 6th in the NFL in completion percentage in the first quarter, 74.4.
Well, his passer rating,
112.2, second best in the NFL and his EPA per pass attempt 0.51, number one in the NFL in the first quarter.
Man, those Luke Getsy scripted drives are fantastic.
Right?
Well, if you're going to blame Luke Getsy for the fourth quarter struggles, don't you got to give Getsy credit for the first quarter successes?
Yeah.
Or no, those are Justin's successes. Okay.
That's all Justin.
Okay. Yeah. All right, number two.
Here we go. In the final seven games of the season, Fields ranked 10th in the NFL in interception percentage, which was 1.4 of his pass attempts went to the other team. And it would have been second in the NFL if not for those two interceptions on Hail Mary passes in Cleveland. Now, I don't believe in like the, well, if you take out that 38-yard run they gave up, they're only allowing 2 yards per carry. Right.
Yeah.
But I do think with Hail Mary interceptions, the Bears themselves don't really count them. Right. I got a lot of angry commenters saying, well, then that you got to take out the Hail Mary interceptions for every quarterback. I don't know how many. It's not like every single quarterback had multiple Hail Mary interceptions in the final seven games of the season. So I don't know how much that would impact it. But even if you leave those in, I think the biggest sign of growth we saw from Fields in the second half of the season when he came back from injury was he did a really good job protecting the football.
I think it's Matt Eberflus's influence, which you could consider good or bad, but I think at the midway point in the season when the Bears started to really believe in their defense, at best, all they wanted was complimentary football of, you know, no negative plays, no turnovers, you know, protect the football, that type of mindset, that type of mantra. And I think Matt Eberflus got it. I guess my question on this, like, I think it's important to look at the individual growth, like his interception rate individually decreased, right? From year two to year three, which is progress, important progress. But at the same time, like, do you know where he ranks still, like, an interception rate, like, amongst his peers, which is still important? Like, it still needs to be part of the conversation. Do you know where he ranks?
I'm supposed to, because I did it in my story.
Yes, in the bottom third of the league. Yeah,
23rd.
Now, sometimes that's just the lack of attempts, you know, factoring into it. But that's also a thing, right? Like, he didn't throw a pass in the third quarter against the Packers, right? And I'm pretty sure the Bears called passes, like, there's a lot of nuance to this.
Right. It's A, is that sustainable? And B, were they being conservative to help get that number down? You know, what's the ceiling with Justin playing that way? I think that's part of the conversation. And there were still fumbles in there, right? You know, that too.
Yes. He
did have those two fumbles in Minnesota in the fourth quarter.
Fields did lead the league, by the way, in fourth quarter fumbles. Ugh. Sorry, bonus not so fun fact there.
Okay. All right, number three.
What do you got?
So this was really interesting. So when Fields threw to DJ Moore, his passer rating was 129.5. And I looked up the five wide receivers who were ahead of DJ Moore in receiving yards this year. DJ finished sixth. And their combos of their quarterbacks, this was the best passer rating. So you're talking about Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb, Tua to Tyreek Hill, Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown, Matthew Stafford to Puka Nacua. So, I mean, all those were really high, don't get me wrong, but 129.5, that was the highest. And my conclusion from that is I think we've seen enough from DJ Moore to tell us that probably says more about DJ Moore than it does about Justin Fields, but I also like don't want to take away from the fact that Justin Fields had this just golden gift here of getting to throw to DJ Moore, and he took advantage of it. And you know, if you are in the camp of keeping Justin Fields that the Bears are considering, they have to kind of look at the DJ Moore connection and say, how can, like, what if we got him Marvin Harrison Jr. or somebody else like that? Is that going to build on the other side? The flip side of that is, again, DJ Moore has put up really good numbers with worse quarterbacks than Justin Fields. How do you guys look at that?
I'm willing to bet historically that, like, the numbers of Joe Montana throwing to Jerry Rice, the numbers of Joe Burrow throwing to Ja'Marr Chase, the numbers of Matthew Stafford throwing to Calvin Johnson. Like, they're all pretty darn good just in terms of what they mean for individual quarterback pass rating, because that is a guy out there. That is a number one wide receiver. I just, well, yeah. I mean,
But those quarterbacks aren't Justin Fields. Those quarterbacks you mentioned are all way better than Justin Fields.
That's fine. Yes. Okay, so let's see if I can find
that. That's what,
Kirk Cousins throwing to Jefferson.
No, don't do that to my guy. but again, I'm sure they're outstanding. But well, isn't that the point? Like,
well, you could look at like Sam Darnold throwing DJ Moore. That's what thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if those guys in Carolina that he played with also had similar good ratings, I think, again, it says a lot more about DJ Moore. But if you're of the belief that like there's something more from Fields that we can get to, you say, well, if you give him the type of wide receiver who can get open quickly, and if your quarterback's a little inaccurate, I mean, how many times did we see DJ Moore pluck a pass that was maybe not on target for a big play on third down?
Or take a short throw for significant yardage. I think this is where I stand. Like, DJ Moore has shown that he can produce with every single quarterback he's played with, no matter how good or how bad, just produces with them. I think history says that. I also think DJ Moore has had enough of the change, would like some consistency, and that he likes Justin Fields a whole lot.
But back to the numbers, that's pretty remarkable. But then why are we still in the same conversation where Justin's overall season wasn't better like than right. the year two? And it, and
do you guys want me to pull up
the slightly worse
the Justin Fields to Darnell Mooney numbers?
Well, right. So like, that's my point. Why did everything else regress? Also, don't come at us in May and June this time when we tell you the things we've seen on the practice field, because we all literally talked about that. When Justin throws to DJ, it looks great. When he throws to everybody else, it does not. Oh, they're Justin shorts. You can't have these conclusions. And okay, well, that seems to translate like pretty well
Justin
to the season.
Shorts.
So here's Justin Fields to Darnell Mooney this year. That's not what I'm looking for. Do that thing where you guys hem and haw for a minute.
Well, I don't even know that we need the numbers on this one. I think we kind of know that.
We know it's not good. But I'm willing to bet that Matthew Stafford's numbers, the Cooper Kupp, are pretty good this year. I'm willing to bet that Jalen Hurts, the Devontae Smith, those numbers, those percentages are better than Darnell Mooney's, right? Like,
okay, so when Justin Fields threw to Darnell Mooney this year, his passer rating was 62.1. He completed only 45% of his passes to Mooney.
And so what's, if you can quickly look up, what's Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith? Because his top pass rating was throwing to A.J. Brown, correct?
Right. Jalen Hurts, quarterback, Eagles, did not have a great year this year, but was good when he was throwing to, as you said, A.J. Brown.
Point is, those are some numbers.
You don't have anything in Devontae Smith?
I'm pulling it up. Okay. I got my number crunchers got to do their thing. It can take them a minute. Do that thing again where you guys kind of
hem and haw.
Yeah, Kevin's just like talk about
minions that work inside his computer to pull the stuff up for. How do you think he win an award like he won? You can't just do that by yourself. Come on now.
Banana.
All right, here we go. Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith, 2023. Jalen Hurts' passer rating was 111.1.
Okay, so good.
This was like a down year for Jalen Hurts. And he had 100-plus passer rating, both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
So I guess here's the
argument.
Don't
understand what we're trying to prove here, to be honest, though.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you throw to good wide receivers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't. So maybe you
had Marvin receiver, Harrison Jr. Is it the receiver or the quarterback? Usually it's both.
Yeah.
I, think in this case, we know it's the wide receiver.
Right.
The Bears haven't had a wide receiver like this. And yeah, I guess what you're trying to get at is probably if there's a second DJ Moore, is Justin's overall, you know, numbers better? But that's why I was pointing out, like, I don't know. You, first of all, you I can't
we
just
can all agree,
get
like,
a second DJ Moore.
Well, I will say this. I was a little surprised because I would have thought that there were going to be more times that Fields tried to force it to Moore. I thought the completion percentage would be a little lower. I thought there maybe be an interception or more interceptions throwing that way. So, like, again, that could, again, speaks more to Moore. But I just kind of, when I like looked it up, I was surprised that they were, it was that high considering Fields in general is in the bottom third.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces. They work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Let's get to are we next? Number four?
Sorry, I'll go quicker. All right. Backup quarterback Tyson Bagent completed 65% of his passes. That was the second best completion rate for an undrafted rookie quarterback dating back to 2000, trailing only this year Bengals backup quarterback Jake Browning.
Wow. That kind of, I don't. Man, we're one pick away from that not working, though, because if Brock Purdy hadn't been selected last, then he would have been undrafted.
Right.
I was screwed everything up there. Yeah, we almost forget the Tyson Bagent era.
Mark Carmen doesn't.
No, he doesn't. That's for sure. But they do have a decent backup quarterback. I think that's because that's what Jake Browning proved to be, kind of. I mean, he filled in okay, but also the Bengals didn't make the playoffs once they lost Joe Burrow. So I don't know.
They went 9-8.
That was fun.
Did he complete like 90% of his passes one game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that the Jaguars game?
Yeah.
The prime
time. Would 100% take that every game that my backup quarterback starts.
Yes.
We've covered some pretty bad backup quarterbacks here in Chicago.
Bagent did a good job. and he's still young and he's got a chance to develop. It's a good find. All right, number five.
Khalil Herbert, 611 rushing yards, were the fewest for a Bears leading running back since Edgar Bennett had 611 in 1998.
Wow.
Now, Herbert was obviously hurt. Roschon Johnson was hurt. The Dante Foreman thing was kind of weird, but it was an interesting statistical analysis of the Bears running backs that, you know, they were the second leading rushing team in football. Fields led the team in rushing, but it wasn't like last year when Fields had 1,000 yards. And think about it. Herbert had 611 with back-to-back 100-yard games in late December. I mean, they were on to not get a 500-yard running back, which I don't think the Bears – I think that has to goes back to like 1992 or something.
Mm-hmm. Running back is definitely on my list of needs this offseason.
Yeah, I think we can say that they missed David Montgomery a little bit. Now, is it worth paying that money? Do they regret not paying that money? That's a different question because they still finished what? Fourth in the league in rushing?
Yeah, I think it was like maybe second in rushing overall and fourth in yards per carry.
But again, a lot of that was high.
It is, but regardless, you still have a solid rushing attack. Yeah. They could still
The one thing I also noticed when comparing the backs was there was a major variance for Khalil Herbert. Like, after the ankle injury, he clearly wasn't himself. But if you look at the opener against the Packers and the finale against the Packers, those were two worst games this season. And Roschon, while it never got a lot of carries, was always a little more consistent. Yeah. I just don't know if Roschon can ever be. He's just not explosive enough, I don't think, to be a number one. But I think he proved himself as a number two guy. And Hogue, you could certainly speak to what he brings to special teams.
Yeah, I agree. They can use an upgrade. I don't know that I want to, go Jahmyr Gibbs and use a first round pick on a running back. But you could talk me into a second round pick. And certainly if you can find another David Montgomery in the third round, that would go a long way. Yeah. So, all right. Next on the list.
The Bears were 1-5 when DJ Moore had 6 targets or fewer. And the one win came when Moore was limited by an ankle injury in that game against the Cardinals.
You know, it's interesting.
Correlation or causation?
Probably a bit of both. Like there were games where like DJ Moore was barely targeted and like he still finished with like a career highs in what touchdown catches and receiving yards. That to me is on Luke Getsy, like finding ways to get your best player the ball. Like you just see what Mike McDaniel does in Miami with his speedy receivers, right? With Tyreek Hill. They move them all over the place. Let's be a little bit more creative. Like when I heard Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles talk about like innovation, that stood out to me. Like try to find ways to get your best player the football. Like scheme him open. He's good enough to do a lot of damage with the football in his hands. Find him ways to get the ball beyond simplistic, you know, wide receiver screen. So that to me, this is a criticism of Luke Getsy.
Tyreek Hill, by the way, had two times all year he got fewer than 6 targets. In both those games, he got 5 targets. I think one of them he was hurt.
So. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I think shout out Courtney Cronin in her story had that the Bears were 4-0 when DJ had at least 10 targets this season.
Well, it makes sense. Justin Fields had a great passer rating when he threw the ball to DJ Moore. So when you're throwing the ball to DJ Moore, good things are happening. You're winning football games. When you didn't do that, the numbers went down. You didn't score points. You lost the games. It's pretty cut and dry.
This is where you get me with the Luke Getsy criticism because this is all on him. You have to be more creative, more inventive to find ways to get your best players the football. And this applies to Cole Kmet too. The Bears' second best receiver statistically, you know, and the eye test. Like, find them ways to get them the football.
Mark Trestman would have gotten the ball to DJ Moore.
True. Maybe Marcus Brady.
I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it. But what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
Wow, that is an impressive, like, you have that save still. That's good.
Yeah, well, it's more so that I finally found it again.
That's got to be 10 years old. Yeah, it is.
2014 the math checks season, out. I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hit that John Fox pipe for me.
Yeah, 2014 was a year, and 10 years after that is 2024. So yeah, right. that we're doing good with numbers today.
Point is, those are some numbers.
All right, next up.
Here we go. Speaking of Cole, oh no, we're still on wide receivers. I thought this was illuminating. Back to the same conversation. The gap between DJ Moore and Darnell Mooney was 950 receiving yards. So I started to look through, what is that the largest gap the Bears have ever had between a number one and number two wide receiver? And I realized I don't think I was ever going to find it, because there were 3 years the Bears didn't even have a single player of 900 receiving yards alone.
Jesus.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Wait, were those the John Fox years?
Yeah, 15, 16, and 17.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you guys, you want to try to guess the leading wide receivers for those three seasons.
Well, Alshon Jeffrey was one, right?
Alshon Jeffrey led the Bears in receiving in 2015 with 807 receiving yards.
And he was hurt for most of it, or for a good portion of it.
Your 2016 leading wide receiver was?
Kendall Wright? No, it's 2017.
He had 888 wide receiving yards. I would say top five moment of Bears fans furious with the GM when this guy got away. And he never, unfortunately, mainly due to injury, he never did much after his time with the Bears.
2016?
Local guy. Undrafted. It was a great story.
Oh, local Cam guy? Meredith.
Yeah.
Cam Meredith.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had a great year.
Do you remember when the Saints signed him? And the Bears.
Yeah, I definitely wrote a column that said that was a bad move by the Bears. I definitely wrote that. Yeah, and I was definitely wrong.
He had health problems. His knee was never the same. Knee or ankle.
And the
knee,
Bears knew. Right? The Bears had the inside information on it, obviously.
Yeah, they knew. Yeah. And then, John, you're right, for 2017, Kendall Wright led the Bears with 614 receiving yards.
Yeah. Welcome to the NFL, Mr. Trubisky. The Bears started the game with Tanner Gentry and Trey McBride.
What about when they traded for Dontrell Inman? That was a good day.
That was 2017.
Yeah, I think he ended up finishing third among wide receivers that year, 334 yards.
I mean, you knew you're in trouble when you trade a seventh round pick for Dontrell Inman midseason, and there's 700 reporters around. I'm like, this guy's going to save the season.
Welcome to Chicago.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Don which Trump, once again you know the, this is the place receivers come to die.
He probably walked in the door and realized it right away, but I don't think Dontrell Inman was doing much before that anyway. What's next?
All right, now we're getting to the tight end position. We got two more here. Cole Kmet caught 81.1% of passes thrown his way, second in the league among tight ends, trailing only Durham Smythe. And Durham Smythe or Smith had 47 fewer targets than Cole Kmet.
I remember drops being part of the criticism of Cole Komet's play a couple years ago.
That was a real problem when he was a rookie. He didn't score touchdowns, and he not only had some drop issues, but he had some fumble issues after the catch. And he has drastically improved that. He catches everything now and holds on to the ball, gets extra yards. That's another area where I would say if they can upgrade the Robert Tonyan position, you're putting Cole Kmet in a better spot, more of where he's supposed to be. Because he kind of had to do both this year, and it was impressive. But by the end of the year, man, that guy was hurting. You could tell. I mean, I don't think anybody was welcoming the offseason more than him by the time it was all over, because he had a lot of bumps and bruises for how much he touched the football.
Yeah, Cole Kmet's catch percentage, 63.6 as a rookie, then 64.5, 72.5 last season, and then 81.1. So that's a pretty impressive increase, especially because his targets, of course, went up in those years too.
No, he's a good player. It was a good pick by Ryan Pace. Do you know he's only going to be 25 next year in his fifth season?
Yeah. That was a good draft.
Yes.
For not having a first round pick. They got Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson out of that draft. And so number one corner, number one tight end, pretty good.
And Arlington Hambright.
Okay.
What was his nickname?
I don't remember.
You're thinking of Pig. I'm thinking of Pig Simmons.
Yeah. Latavius Simmons. Yeah. I bet Eberflus would have a good one for Arlington Hambright. He would call him Hambino.
No, just Ham.
Ham.
I don't know. What's up yours?
Okay.
We call him Hambino.
I love the nicknames. I don't want to make fun of that. The nicknames are great. And I want to know our nicknames.
See, when he gets a sack, he's the Sandman. But he wants a tackle for loss, he's Jackhammer.
We should come up with nicknames in one podcast for our colleagues. I don't think they would talk to us for a season, but it could be well worth it, Adam.
He's a dragon slayer because he's slaying the dragons.
It's not a bad goal for the offseason is to get the reporter nicknames out of Flus.
No, he doesn't have them. No, he might have a couple.
He's definitely got one for Jason Leisure.
You ever see X-Men with Juggernaut? Look at Andrew Billings. He's our Juggernaut.
You gotta work on your impersonation.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
Yeah, I like it. All right. Well, I don't even know what number we're on anymore.
This is the last one.
Okay.
Yeah. The Bears had 9 offensive line combinations in 2023, the same amount they had in 2022. Only one offensive lineman started all 17 games. That was Darnell Wright, who missed 5 snaps all season. Very impressive rookie campaign for Darnell Wright. I think when you go look at the story that's up, as I said, today, Thursday, I have the snap counts for everybody on offense by position. And you go to offensive line and you can see kind of the attrition there. Mm-hmm. And you realize that there was really only that one stretch, which happened to be their best stretch of football all year in November, December, when they had the same offensive line for, I believe it was 5 of 6 games.
You guys know I always go back and rewatch the tape when the season's over. And I got to the Minnesota game where Cody Whitehair blocked Nate Davis.
Mm.
That was good times. And the snaps are all over the place.
Yeah.
They got some upgrades. By the way, Nate Davis either needs to be more reliable or better or both for that signing to work out too.
Yeah. Needs a bounce back here. As far as Darnell Wright, like you're feeling really good about that selection if you're the Bears. And I'm sure the Eagles still feel good about their selection of Jalen Carter. But just in terms of how like the season's finished, was Carter mentioned at all like in the playoff game? Like I can't remember.
No, he tailed off for sure.
And
but that entire defense tailed off. Well, I mean, you almost get a pass. Like, yeah. Since Patricia took over, Hassan Reddick disappeared completely.
Yeah.
How do you make that happen?
Yeah. A lot of big names on that defense. You know, I do think actually TJ Edwards was extremely missed by them.
Something seems off there, but a trade.
If you draft the player who was considered the best overall player in that draft, right, by a lot of evaluators, wouldn't you expect a bit more? I would. It's early in his career, but I think the criticism, or at least the draft evaluation, is siding with the Bears right now.
I think I was filling out my ballot for PFWA awards. I'm pretty sure I gave defensive rookie to Will Anderson. I thought, well, just looking at their stats, that Will Anderson made more splash plays this year. 22 quarterback hits, 7 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, compared to Jalen Carter, who finished with 6 sacks, 8 tackles for loss, 9 quarterback hits. Now, I'm guessing if you go advanced stats that Carter had more run stuffs or things like that. But yeah, his from, you know, after September, you didn't hear his name very much.
It's disrespectful to Tyreek Stevenson.
I put him on my all rookie team at corner.
Trying to look, they announced the Pepsi finalists. The Pepsi, is it called the Pepsi Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
Where did that go? Here we go. Oh, it's, I'm sorry. Apologies to Zero Sugar. Pepsi Zero Sugar NFL Rookie of the Year. Finalists, Devon Achane, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Puka Nacua, Bijan Robinson, and CJ Stroud. I thought there was a defensive guy in there. That's why I was looking, but I guess not.
CJ Stroud's guy.
Yeah. But for defense, the guy in the Rams, I'm blanking on his name right now. It was a third round pick. They had two guys that I think both had 8 sacks. The Rams drafted incredible this year. And that's one way to get over not, you know, trading 5 years of first round picks is just to hit every other pick. Get Puka Nacua in the 5th round.
Did you see that video of Leslie and McVay talking about Nacua?
It's
gone viral a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've heard it twice now, and like my number one takeaway on that is that's just years of like knowing each other. Mm-hmm. Years of like a belief in a system and knowing what you want and knowing what you can be and trusting each other. Like, we've never had that in Chicago, at least in the years that I've covered, my term of covering the Chicago Bears.
Right. And I guess if you want to, you know, look on the bright side, if Poles really does love Flus this much and they really do see eye to eye on what they're building, that could be a good thing. And the draft picks have been pretty good so far. Pretty damn good. There's a lot to like there. So, all right. That's it.
That's all I got. We'll do defense special teams a couple weeks. If you guys want.
I mean, I'm here for the special teams fun facts.
Well, those
sure.
might be fun facts.
Those are probably more fun.
All right. I think you get to keep your award. This went pretty well. So you don't have to worry about that. Do I have to introduce... That's, you know, good. Like when we have the Dan Pompey comes out, we got to call him the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey. Do we have to call you award-winning Kevin Fishbane now?
I'll think about it.
Okay.
I've got 363 days left to milk this thing. So
Now we should just annoy him.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm...
Just make it more grandiose with every mention.
All right, we are out of here. Make sure you are following Kevin on Twitter at KFishbane for unlimited fun facts that pop up there all the time. You can follow us at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Of course, the show is at Hogue and Johns on Twitter, and HogueandJohns.com is where you go to get merchandise. You can also always read Johnsy and Fishbane on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HogueandJohns, where you go to subscribe there. And we got some good things planned next week. I don't know if it's all buttoned up or confirmed, but we have two guests next week that you're going to want to hear. Definitely draft related, quarterback related, good stuff. So don't go anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We will be back on Tuesday with another new edition of Hogue and Johns. We will talk to you then.
Point is, those are some numbers.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.